This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Liberty Hall, how the hell are ya?
There's a sign.
Oh, very cute. Look at these lick arses bringing signs.
What does it say?
You expect two girls with astigmatism to be able to read that.
Oh, here we go.
Thank you so much for joining us. Bandwagons Live. Brainworms. Months in the making. Was anyone here at the Sugar Club March 2020?
Read that.
Did we predict the pandemic? Reviews by Robin had a positive antigen test. Shout out for her, please. Oh, Robin!
Oh, boo, Robin.
Oh, friend of the pod. We're very sorry to hear that. We love you, Robin. Anyway, some of you were here at the Sugar Club. Someone made some very badly tasted, that's not a word, out of taste jokes about hand sanitizer.
Yes.
And the world shut down a week later.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Definitely wasn't us.
Yeah.
We're so delighted to be back and so delighted. Look at you all. You're all real.
Yeah, I thought they were never going to turn those lights off. I was like, no, please. There's too many faces. There's way too many faces.
And also, I know we said this to yesterday's crowd, the Thursday crowd. We were like, we love you the most because you came out midweek. But guys bought your fucking tickets first. So.
Yeah.
Also, if you were here both nights, mind your business. It's we love both of you. Housekeeping?
Housekeeping. Let's do it.
Please share throughout the show.
I just realized I was breathing heavily into the mic.
Who is?
I was. Sorry.
And I'm like, explosive. I think there's a birthday girl in the house tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Oh,
maybe there's multiple birthday girls, yeah. But only one friend wrote to me, so sorry, other birthday girls. A big happy birthday to Rachel Alkin, who's 20 today.
Yeah! Yup, Rachel.
You're a child. Go home. I'm old.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Yeah, please share. We're on Instagram as well, but it actually wasn't our starting the logo into this slide, to be perfectly honest. So
take loads of pictures and videos. We really don't mind.
As you mentioned, the show is called Brainworms. I did order a hat. It just never arrived in case anyone was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this happens every year. Every year she shows up and it's like, we agreed on this, but I didn't do it in the end. But it's fine.
Did you say he looks like Magic Mike?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Someone else. Yeah,
someone else is wearing it.
It's very rodeo. Anyway, the show is called Brainworms.
Oh, yeah.
Which, we had an argument about this because I thought it would be funny. They were like, you can name the show.
So basically, our promoter, Brian, he's here somewhere.
Love you, Brian.
Woo! He's the best.
Get up for Brian!
Yeah. He said, basically, do you want to name the show anything? And we were like, what do you mean? He was like, you can name it anything you want. And we were like, oh.
The two worst people to trust with that.
Yeah. So we went with Brainworms, which is something Fionnuala says all the time.
And we're desperately infected with.
Yeah, only when I sat down to like research this show did I Google what it actually meant.
Definitions of brainworms.
So we're going to take you through some of the best.
Brainworms, a phrase to describe someone who is cognitively degenerating. Synonym of going off the deep end, can have varying degrees of severity. I would say we are at probably the severe end.
Yeah.
And that was before the pandemic. This is another cracker. A microscopic parasitic roundworm that infests the brain of large hoofed animals, such as deer.
Hoofs.
Worms for brain. Reaction to somebody saying or doing something insanely dumb. Insinuating someone has literally worms instead of a well-functioning brain.
That's the most accurate, I think.
Example. Jessica went back to her ex again.
Worms for brain. Jessica.
Don't shout for Jessica. She's a last cause. Brainworm. A persistent delusion or obsession. A deeply ingrained or unquestioned idea. Which is the best summary of the podcast I've ever read, to be honest.
I think that's the best for this. For this particular show and this particular topic, I think this is a good definition.
We should have asked a lot more questions about this podcast, but here we are.
I don't know. It seems to be working for us. Let's just keep going with it.
You're all gorgeous. Will I put it to our audience to see if they know what tonight's topic?
Yeah, but I told a lot of people to don't guess if you know.
Don't guess if you know.
That's not fair.
Any guesses?
And I'm not singing tonight.
No music.
No music
you're all,
tonight.
Sorry, you're all very quiet and you were shouting for the interval backstage. I all heard you. You were like, yes, drinks, and I'm asking for guests, and you're like, Breed, I love you.
I love you too.
Do you love me?
Yeah.
Would you say we're a big, fat, happy family?
Hit the track, Fionnuala. Everybody.
All together.
We're best friends like friends should be.
You're all soft.
In again, the kiss from me to you.
Woo!
Won't you say you love me too?
Aww. We are talking about
Barney and Friends. I have a bone to pick with people because I had a different version of this theme tune when we were in primary school. I put it on my Instagram, I don't know if you saw it recently, but basically, Fionnuala had no idea what I was talking about. So what we used to sing was, no, Barney is a dinosaur from our imagination.
Barney is a dinosaur what is that, then, from if it's our not imagination. This? I think that's just
is this just like a school year's?
No, that's
that the
old one? Tune, yeah.
Right. Well, anyway.
That's the bit they sing at the end when we're like, this was class.
I think the original theme tune was like a parody of Yankee Doodle.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
So in our schoolyard, we used to sing, Barney is a dinosaur from our imagination. He's big and fat and full of crap, and that's the situation. Yeah. But there's a lot of variations. Let me bring
it
up.
We never had this. Can anyone in Cove who was here tonight confirm? Did we ever do this? Sorry, who the fuck are these fake Cove people shouting?
There's not that many people in Cove.
Like a handful of my friends are here, and the rest of you are imposters. What other ones were there?
Barney is a dinosaur from our imagination, stuck his fingers up his hole and died of constipation. Who had that one?
I thought this was going to be the night show. My mom is here.
Yeah. Slipped on grass and broke his ass and died of constipation.
Why are kids just obsessed with shit? Like,
you are too.
Just up. Yeah.
Fionnuala kept telling everyone last night that they had shit on their ass, and she thought it was the funniest thing.
There is nothing than just being like, no, we'll get into it later. Anyway, but private joke. Very funny.
I hate you, you hate me. Let's all go and kill Barney with a punch in the back and a bullet in his head. Sorry, kids, but Barney's dead.
Sorry, I do remember that one.
Yeah.
I do remember that one. That's pointed.
There's a lot of variations of that. It's like, I love you, you love me, let's go and kill Barney with a baseball bat and a 4x4. No more purple dinosaur.
I love the English language.
Yeah.
What a beautiful language.
There's a few just variations of the constipation one, like stuck a pencil up his
arse. I think people get it. I would say, I appreciate it. I do think people get it.
Yeah.
It was funny, take your dog clacks. Anyway, there's Breed in all her regale as well. Aww.
I'm so cute, sorry. Somebody take a picture for my mom.
Very annoying though, because I was, when I say, do you know that clip of Demi Lovato, and they're like,
no, you don't get it, I'm obsessed.
They're like, I love this man, and I have to have him. That was me with Barney. Yeah. I was like... I loved him. I went to school with an American accent for 2 years because of him, I would say. And my mom will confirm that if you ask her after. But like my junior advanced teacher was like, are you okay? I was like, she's like, alrighty then, okay. I loved him. Yeah. I loved him so much. I actually don't really appreciate any criticism of him now.
What are
incredible
we doing
here? Music, an incredible recording artist, excuse me. And it's just sad that his story ended the way it did, but you know, that's nostalgia. We're here to relive it now. The constipation. I meant other things, but yeah, the constipation.
Not great either.
Probably didn't really help.
Our first dog was named Barney.
After the dinosaur.
After the dinosaur.
Okay.
We're obsessed.
Oh.
Yeah, and I seem to have all the merch. I don't know. I have no memory of it. My mom said she got like an old teddy bear that was a purple dinosaur but had like a yellow belly from like one of my dad's cousins or something, and I thought it was Barney, and it was like my most precious item.
Aww.
She was like, it was not Barney, but you thought it was, and it kept you happy. But
she's like, all right, shut up, Bree.
Yeah, here's a secondhand teddy.
Who is Barney?
Tell me.
He is a purple anthropomorphic Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
Who conveys educational messages through songs and small dance routines. That's kind
that's
of
minor.
That's like, he is the Dua Lipa of like children's cartoon characters, you know? That's mean to do it. She's learned more moves since, but like, this is burning.
Literally. He can't even move his arms that low.
He actually can't. No. That's a very good point. The wiki of Barney is very funny. I think we do, yeah. Here he is. Oh, there they all are. Way, having a laugh. We'll get to that green and those green and yellow fuckers. Just you wait. Just you wait. Who was Barney? There he is. Jeez, he's all Gillette, as my mum would say.
he's all Gillette.
Yeah, all Gillette. If you're like all dickied up, like
all Gillette.
He's ready.
He's
to
all
rock girls.
From that. Line.
He's out. Anyway, the Barney wiki is very funny because it's like. It's like Barney is 6 foot, sometimes 7 foot, which is just every straight male on a dating app.
Yeah. Those are two
sometimes
measurements.
Sometimes, if you look like this. Barney, you don't have to lie to us. I love you. I love you no matter what you look like. And then it was like, it's what in all this about, like, do you know, he's a doll and he appears, he like from kids' imagination and try to teach them like nice little messages, whatever. And then the next paragraph is literally like, he was born in Dallas, Texas.
What? Why does he not have the accent?
Because that's where he was created. Like, he's not from Dallas, Texas. He's a fictional dinosaur. But like, it was just like, he's from Dallas, Texas. However, he lives in people's imaginations.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, he doesn't reside in Texas. Like, he doesn't, like, declare tax there. That's all up here, guys.
He was created by a teacher and writer named Cheryl Leach. Maybe she was from Texas.
Yeah, she was.
After she noticed that her toddler son had outgrown the We Sing songbook series and found other, like, age-appropriate things very unappealing. So she came up with it, and it was, like, all, like, direct-to-video series.
Mm-hmm.
Of like Barney videos, and then PBS picked it up because it was such a success. But it was Barney and the Backyard Gang originally. He was supposed to be a bear. How do we feel about that?
But we already we had a bear.
He came after.
He lives
surely.
In a big blue house. Yeah, I know, but I just feel like they're two great guys in their own way. You know, I think the right call is made.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm perhaps oversharing this episode about how much I fancy children's characters.
Yeah. Who was it yesterday?
Who was it yesterday? Could have been anyone.
Sirius Black?
Yeah, but he's not a cartoon.
Yeah.
And he was Hawk, sorry. Sirius Black. You will cheer for anything.
Oh, no, it was like Buckbeak or something.
Oh, I did say I fancy Buckbeak. Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
I had more drinks at that point.
He, according to the episode Happy Birthday Barney, he's 200 million years old or... two dinosaur years old.
Where is he getting the Botox? Because he looks great.
Yeah.
So, obviously it ran for... Like, this is the thing. So there's no actually real plot with Barney. Like, he's there... There's some children there. They're having a laugh. Everyone learns things. Other dinosaurs turn up. Nobody dies. Nobody lives or dies. It's just all in imagination and having a laugh. No real plot. But the main series ran the early 90s, the late 90s, then the early noughties, and then kind of into the late noughties, and that's when things wrapped up. But my overarching, every time I think back to Barney, I think of the sets. Like, you remember, like, the treehouse? Oh, guys, come on. That's cheap. You're better than this. You're better than this, guys. I thought last night was a horny crowd. I had mispronounced a word, and you were like, wow. You'd know we were inside for a very long time. No, but, you know, they always had, like, mad, cool gaffes, and it just gave me, like, such unrealistic expectations. For sorry, this was the school. This was, like, the lower tier, but...
I did not remember this.
Like this is cool the 80s, wasn't it? Yeah, this was like the older series. Mm. And then, look at that fucking treehouse!
Yeah. This one I remember.
And they used to, I think you could like, send like messages up and down on a rope or something. Someone correct me there. Or they had some kind of pulley, like dumbbell waiter thing. And I was like, oh my God, I wish that was my gaff so badly.
Yeah.
When I win the lotto, I make Barney my gaff look like this. And then we had in the later series, the caboose. Which is the only reason why I know what a caboose is.
What is a caboose?
Some part of a train. Anyone want to help me here? The end of the train. But it was like an old caboose that they made into this like play area school thing. And again, I just remember being like...
Look at the bike rack.
Imagine entertaining people
facilities.
There. Imagine having people over a few beverages. Barney's there. He's putting on his records. Long week of work, you know. Divine. I love those houses so much. Couldn't tell you one thing about any of the other characters, but I just, the houses are imprinted on my brain.
Yeah.
Are That's my brain.
Your house looks exactly like that caboose now.
It kind of does. You're not wrong. Let's talk about David Joyner.
Yeah.
The man in the suit.
The man in the suit.
I would on the chairs.
Just, yeah.
Okay. You might.
Yeah. So David Joyner, he was the man in the suit. He did not do the voice. That was someone else who we did not do any research on. But he went for the audition and said, like, he's a very, like, eccentric character, let's say. But he said that the night before his audition, he had a dream about Barney. He had a dream that Barney was passed out and he had to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
I should have reviewed this section.
On the day of the audition, he was stopped at a red light and noticed a billboard above him for Southwest Airlines, and it said, "Breathe life into your vacation." So in that moment, Joyner decided, if I could breathe life into this character, I was going on vacation. Like, none of this really makes any sense now that I'm reading it.
Sounds like he was on glue.
So he originally auditioned for the role.
Good for him.
He was high on life. Originally auditioned for the role in 1991, replacing Barney's original costume actor, David Voss. He was cast as a backup performer at that time, but then took over the role after original Barney went away, or had difficulty staying in the costume for long periods of time because it's actually really heavy.
Yeah, you would imagine.
Like, yeah, I suppose.
And hot.
Not surprising.
Just melting. It's like that scene in Succession where Greg pukes through the... Never mind.
What?
They got it. There's a scene in Succession and he starts working it as like a theme park amusement, you know, like like the equivalent of Mickey or whatever. And he's like after smoking a joint or something beforehand, or like barely after smoking a joint, and all these kids come up and they're like hassling him. And then he's just like, whoa, and he just like pukes all through the like the mouth hole for the, it's great. Watch Succession. I'm obsessed with it.
So I don't have to. So the Barney gig, after his Barney gig ended in 2001, he became a tantric sex therapist and spiritual healer. So now he wears way less clothing than the bulky 70-pound dinosaur get-up for work.
That would be, like, if you're going from clothes to no clothes, that's quite a subtraction, like.
But apparently this is why, like, when they stopped Aaron Barney in 2009, they just, like, took it off everywhere because they just didn't agree with what David Joyner had gone on to do. That's the rumour. It's like, they just didn't want to be aligned with him at all, so they took Barney down. PBS just didn't want it anywhere. It is on YouTube, though. They're still making it on YouTube, are they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard to find the old ones. You can find really new ones on YouTube, but the old ones are just
the
very,
old ones
very,
looked like they
very
were filled
like
on shoes, obviously. It was like way back then, and then it would be uploaded to YouTube.
So that's David Joyner.
Now, I think the ratings were like dog shit towards the end as well. They were
really?
Like, yeah, I think it was like, because who, like, we got it, like.
Yeah, but there's always babies.
Saying be careful means that I love you. Sharing is caring. Be nice to people. Don't be a dickhead.
Oh, we'll like, it's all, well, yeah, we'll get into that.
All the same lesson, like, you know. Is that what we're doing next? It is.
Egg, what a segue.
The best and worst lessons Barney taught us.
Okay, do you want to knock it on?
I sure do.
The first one is, everybody's got feelings.
Yeah. We'll talk about the orange guy. I know you're looking at that being like, who the fuck is that guy? So was I.
Got feelings.
No stone was left unturned, guys. It'll be addressed.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it at the reunion.
So even though Barney and his fellow dinosaurs seems to be in a state of eternal joy, a few episodes deal with their mellow moments. A standard episode with regard to this was titled Everybody's Got Feelings. When BJ and Baby Bop seem to have fits of anger, Barney tries to show them some empathy and tells the kids that feelings of anger and resentment are natural. Even though one should fight such feelings, acceptance is the first step. That's a nice lesson.
Imagine Barney was just like, yeah, just it's totally normal. Dig the head off them. BJ did that to you? Aw. Kick him in the shin.
Lead with anger. Lead with violence. The next one.
Not a good lesson, this one, really, is it?
Worst. Jobs are fun.
Like, I'm really sad because when, like, we end up having to eat the rich, like, Barney's now top my list. Like, you know, don't promote labor. Excuse me.
So in the episode When I Grow Up, it featured a young boy named Sean as he faces the insecurity and fear of adulthood and getting a job.
Oh, my God. How old was this child?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. The fear seems pretty realistic and is somewhat mature for a children's show that seems to over-romanticise all professions, even if not all these professions might be happy at their job. Professionals might be happy at their job. But that's what makes this theme seem pretty difficult to address, as there's no direct solution. So obviously Barney decides to go down the easy route yet again and arrives at the conclusion that jobs aren't scary and can be great fun. Shut up, it's fine.
Barney's like, stop whinging.
You just have to do it, yeah.
Stop whinging. Go update that LinkedIn status, for fuck's sake. Right, another good lesson?
Yeah, inclusivity and respect for all cultures.
So the slight change to the audience is like, oh. And then everyone's like, yeah, because you have to. If you didn't share that, you're a bad person. And I saw who didn't, so.
Yeah, Barney loved to get up. But there are many episodes. He loved a hat.
He loved a hat.
There are many episodes, for example, World of Music and Any Way You Slice It.
Any Way You Pardon Me? Any Way You Slice It?
It's a bit sexy, is it?
Anyway, yeah, I don't know.
When that Barney explores the cultural differences of the cultures of different countries, ranging from Mexico to China, his universal message of peace transcends boundaries, propagating a wholesome message of loving everyone despite their differences. In a few arcs, he also asks various children to tell him about their families and household customs.
Sorry, he's trying to steal their data there.
He's like, tell me about your house.
All right, Barney, this isn't the fucking census.
And he acknowledges each response with the utmost respect, as you would expect from
Barney. Respectful king. Mm. Where's the bar for men? Here. Yeah. Through...
Literally.
It's down at the Earth's core.
Is Barney
a
man?
As we praise a fictional... That's a great
point. Does Barney have a gender?
That's a great point. Perhaps not.
Mm,
I loved him. Anyway.
worse. There are no problems in the world. Plus, there's not.
Look at him as you said, in his state of eternal joy.
Yeah.
Some of us have mental illnesses, Barney, okay? Not necessarily talking about myself, but, you know, other people.
Yeah. Barney makes no efforts to give the slightest hints of realities to his young friends. At all. Even when addressing anger, he suggests teamwork to be the ultimate solution to all problems. Barney ignores the possibility that some issues might require dealing with oneself rather than oversharing it and singing it out loud with friends. Am I wrong? No. This is a good one again.
Oh, this is a good lesson, yeah.
Encouraging imagination.
Yeah.
I don't know what this picture was. I couldn't really find one.
Yeah, where the fuck is he going out of?
The shower.
Oh!
It is the shower.
Why is he in the shower? He's a dinosaur! Oh, God.
While Barney is the worst at interpreting reality, the dinosaur is one of the best proponents of imagination. Several episodes emphasize the power of make-believe and how it can serve as a good coping mechanism for children in times of stress or confusion. From mentally conjuring global adventures to building airplanes, there are a lot of imaginary mentally building airplanes, I'm assuming. Like. There are a lot of
he doesn't strike me as a good engineer, I'm going to be honest.
No. That Barney encourages throughout the series. This would be helpful, especially for introverted kids who might not play outside much or those who might not have any friends in school.
Oh, well, now I was going to make a joke, but it made me feel bad. Yeah. Is he a bit of an enabler?
Yes.
Just upon hearing that description, I'm like,
Yes.
Well, you need the friend who's going to be like, would you ever give over? Like, you need to be doing something.
Get up and get on with
it. Who wants to go build a plane in our minds, girls? Okay, bad lesson
one more,
again.
One more, not a great one. Loving oneself to an extreme.
What is this picture?
This one, I have no idea. I think it's from a movie.
Breed's like, you can love yourself, but not too much.
I fell victim to this one hard.
Which I also agree with. I think everyone should have just a sprinkle of shame.
Yeah.
Not too much that it kind of affects your life, but you should be a little bit embarrassed.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, the lesson.
One should love oneself. However, if someone else's personality makes one feel there's scope for improvement, they can definitely learn from others too. Barney tends to be stuck on the belief that every child is the greatest in their own right. This might only lead to false notions of overconfidence for some. We watched way too much Barney. I think this is our origin story.
Here's the byproduct.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do anything. Let's do a podcast.
Yeah. In the
10
episode,
years later.
Trading Places, BJ and Baby Bob switch lives for a day. In the end, they load this exchange. And Barney says that they should therefore be thankful for what they have and shouldn't desire anymore. Not great advice after a Freaky Friday moment.
Yeah. Not great.
Sometimes you do just want a hug, like.
Yeah, very true. Very true. He was flat out dishing him out, though, in the show, like. He was always there for a hug. Mm. Don't do it like that. Let's talk about the
No
movie.
One would get away with hugging kids.
Does anyone remember Barney's Great Adventure? This had such an impact on my childhood. And then upon Googling it, I was like devastated that this was just not as much of a thing theatrically. So it was the only Barney movie that went to cinemas.
I don't remember this at all. I remember the egg, but that's about it.
Who remembers this guy?
Not one person.
This is not sanitary to have here. I have had this since I was a child. He's not clean. I have no idea how this got past the COVID compliance officer, but anyway.
What's his name?
This is Twinkin. Which, again, I don't think you would get away with calling a character Twinkin in 2021. Even in Barney. He features in the... Oh, yeah. So this is a 1998 American musical comedy. Obviously, Barney's there. He's having a laugh. First ever feature-length film. The plot follows Barney along with three young children named Cody, Abby, and Marcella as they discover a magical egg in a barn. After learning that the egg is a dream maker...
Oh, I do remember this.
...ends up being this lad, Barney and the gang must return the egg to the barn before it hatches. So, like, kind of a shit plot. But I remember, like, I watched this, I was like... Because the egg changed, like, colour every time it, like, knocked around somewhere. And it was like, when it got to all the colours, it hatched. Every time it changed colour, I was like, no, this lad.
Oh, Twinkin. No, I did not see that.
His hair is so haggard. He's so cute. He's like a koala, but for your brain, kind of, I think. The whole thing of him is just that he can like see dreams and stuff, and he was the only one who could see. He was the only one who could see Barney's dreams, and then like brought them to life, and then Barney turned back into a doll. And
but
then
this is all happening in like Cody's head or something, isn't it?
No, it's real life, like apparently, but Cody doesn't believe it is the thing. So they're away for the summer, and they're like, we want to have a big adventure, and they have the Barney doll with them, and Cody's like, fuck Barney, like Barney's not real, what are you actually on about? And then Barney becomes like, Marcella thinks of him or something, and Barney's like, da-da-da-da-da, and he's just there. And Cody's like, what the fuck? Well, I still don't think you're that cool, whatever. And then the egg is just there and they have to deal with that. But Cody's also absolutely fully still in denial until literally the end of the movie. And he's like, yeah, no, I think Barney's cool. And then gives him a hug. And then Barney's a doll again.
What's the lesson there?
I don't think there was a lesson. I think it was a cheap effort at merchandising. And yeah. You know what? They won because I still have it. It did very badly. Like
not surprising. Children don't have money for the cinema.
Made $20 million against a budget of $15 million. Yeah. It was the third and final film to be produced by Lyric Studios before it was folded into Hill Entertainment on August 31st, 2001, and is also the only theatrical Barney film, as all other Barney films were just direct-to-video productions. I was trying to look up the writer and the director, so it was written by Stephen White. He just did a lot of the other Barney stuff. And then we had Steve Gomer, who was directing, produced by Cheryl Leach, obviously the creator. The only kind of person of note from the cast was Kyla Pratt. Here she is. She's Marcella there. That's her character. Mm. Kyla Pratt, here's a fun bit of trivia for you.
What's she in?
She's Penny Proud in the Proud family.
Yeah.
Which we should do an episode
she's
on.
She's in something
great
else
show.
As well, is she?
She is. Like, can anyone guess? Or does anyone know? She's Dr. Doolittle's daughter.
Oh.
And then she takes over the franchise. Like, guys, I did not have a lot to go with here. Like, everyone else was, like, dead or not doing anything. Oh. So,
from that movie?
No, not in a bad way. They were just old. Like, there was old people in the movie. Like, and
who
they died.
Dead?
There was, like, grandparents in it or something. That's where the barn was, that the egg was.
Okay.
Anyway, I love this movie, but in hindsight, you know what? Not great.
One on VHS, and it was... What's this?
This is... Who laughed Barney's at VHS? it was that Carl. Poor boy. Too many children in this audience for my liking.
Barney's Great Adventure. We had Imagination Island.
Imagination Island was lit. Remember the professor? And he was like an inventor and he invented loads of shit.
Remember this ship that would sail through the sky and it was like... There was a big wheel and then there was like at sunset. It was so beautiful. But obviously none of it was real. I don't know what the plot was.
And then they met him in their imagination, this lad who just invented things and was like class.
How are they all having this like group, like what is it, folie à deux kind of thing, like where they're all imagining the same weird professor?
And they're just on a trip, like, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, they're all tripping in the same way,
though. All the children are on drugs.
Yeah, mob, like
that's
a mob
much darker.
Thing. Yeah.
Anyway, that inventor who just wouldn't share his inventions, legend, legendary. And Barney had to be like, no, it's great crack if you share. And he was like, actually, yeah, you're dead right. Let's get off this kip of an island. Let's go. Now we have...
What is that?
So now we're going to talk a little bit about like anti-Barney humor. Okay, sorry. So this image is, I think someone modded a game. I think it was maybe... It's not Black Ops, but it's like... Fucking, it's one of those kind of ones. You're going in shooting things. They basically modded it that you could put Barneys in it and you'd be going around corners and they're just there and you have to be like,
yeah.
Shit to be doing. Anyway, I thought it was a good image to tie into the segment. Because it was such a popular children's TV show, it was parodied everywhere. Mm. And because people didn't like it because it was just like, oh, Barney's so nice, whatever. Like, it doesn't really do anything.
It's just the cool thing to do when you grow up is to take the piss out of things you liked when you were
younger. Oh, yeah. Like, this went across, like, loads of childhood shows. Like, Barney wasn't the only one, but I think Barney kind of got it the worst. Mm. In University of Chicago professors W.J.T. Mitchell's book, The Last Dinosaur Book, The Life and Times of a Cultural Icon, he notes that the program is often a target for parody and negative attacks by children of various ages, adolescents and adults in the United States and elsewhere. The notion given that the show is saccharine, boring, annoying, sugary, dangerous. I would disagree with that. It's not dangerous. It's about as dangerous as like...
The glamorized like being friends with a stranger in the park?
No. I remember a specific episode where there was just some lad in the park and Baby Bop was like, how are ya? And Barney was like, absolutely not.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'm paraphrasing, but like I think he was just hanging around. Like
no way, there's no way they did that.
I think he ended up being fine in the end, but the lesson was again: don't talk to strangers.
Yeah,
they might be fine, but
they're anthropomorphic.
Who wants to take the risk? Yeah, unless they look exactly like me. No. Yeah, as we mentioned, so like Thomas the Tank Engine gets it. Everyone's seen those like creepy pasta Thomas the Tank Engine, Dora the Explorer, Bert and Ernie, Elmo, Peppa Pig, the Teletubbies. Barney definitely gets it the worst. Like he was parodied on Saturday Night Live in 1993 when Charles Barkley hosted. They did like a skit. It was like he had done a Nike commercial at the time, where it was like Godzilla themed. No, Charles Barkley.
Okay.
Barney was not available
to
host.
Never SNL. Fit runners on those feet.
I'm sure. Yeah.
No way.
So he like faced off Barney in a like one-on-one thing. The Animaniacs did it. They did a satirical episode about called Bologonian Kids, and it was like an orange dinosaur, and they were like taking the piss out of him. Does anyone remember the show Dinosaurs? Thank God the elders are here. Do you know it's a sitcom and it was like a cartoon? You know your man and the baby's like not the mama.
No.
If Megan Stock was here, she'd be eating this up. Let me tell you right now. So it was basically, they did a satire episode featuring Georgie, who was another, like an orange hippo that the baby was obsessed with. And like the dad was like really annoyed that the baby was obsessed with this fucker. And the song was, he had a song like, it was like, I Hug You, which was such a dig at Barney.
Yeah.
The dad's like, I can't deal with the singing anymore. So he takes the tape out that the baby has and breaks it. So the baby starts screaming, crying.
Why is the dad so mad? It's just a baby.
I know, but I think
this
that was
like
just
a massive overreaction.
Yeah, they are dinosaurs, and it is a fictional TV show. Though I wouldn't read too much into it. Okay. It's fine.
Okay.
So then he ends up having to like bring because the baby's like crying, won't stop crying. So he's like, right, I'll bring you to the mall. The mall. We're in America, guys. Any Americans here? No.
No, yeah. There's not.
There was one last night as well, and I was very mean to them. So strap in. They go to the mall. The queue's too long. Your man's like, right, I can't be arsed with this. The baby keeps crying. So then he gets a costume and dresses up as Georgie and pretends to be Georgie to stop the baby crying. Unfortunately, this gets the dad arrested for copyright infringement by Georgie's people and is thrown in jail. Again,
this is
still a kid's show, right? While in jail, Earl, the dad, is visited by Georgie himself, who reveals his intentions to assert his brand on the children and profit from the marketing and merchandising. Earl escapes with the help of Jean-Claude and Brigitte. I don't know who they are. Oh,
Jean-Claude
and Brigitte. These are, again, still dinosaurs, right? Members of the parents' resistance who see Georgie for what he truly is. A money-grabbing, tax-evading fraud.
What?
With help from his friend and co-worker, Roy Hess, Earl sneaks into Georgie's studio, knocks Georgie out, and goes on TV disguised as Georgie in an attempt to reveal the hippo's intentions. However, before long, the real Georgie comes on stage, and an on-screen brawl ensues between him and Earl. During the fight, Roy finds himself standing before the camera and begins entertaining the studio audience by singing Brinkhouse. That dinosaur show. I can't spell. Basically, your man ends up going to jail, like. At the end of the episode, it's reported that Georgie has been arrested for racketeering and tax evasion. A kid's show, parodying a kid's show, teaching them about the important things. Don't get arrested for tax evasion. Mm. Essentially.
I don't even know what racketeering is now. I wouldn't have known 20 years ago.
What is racketeering?
You don't know.
Quickly.
Someone's over here.
Oh, it's what Jen Shah did in Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Yes, okay.
That's a very
There you go. If
reference.
You explain in housewives terms, it's fine.
Thank you.
The other thing we had then was, I do not remember this at all, but the cast is like really stacked in this. Sorry. One other thing. This is like very early YouTube culture.
Okay.
I just think this is funny. Like this is, I do remember watching this and thinking this was the funniest fucking thing ever. And now I'm like, anyway, just.
We'll let them decide.
It's so in tune.
That's so old.
How is it in tune?
I don't like the way he's grinding on those children.
No, I don't either. D- This is all of us in the George later. Learn the routine now. That's kind of it. He just says that. Is that an axe? Oh, it's a toothbrush. We'll get to that.
No.
No, sorry. So the other thing was Death to Smoochie.
Is that Robin Williams?
Yeah. This is a 2002 movie that I never knew about, but it basically loosely parodies anti-Bernie humor. So it follows former children's star Rainbow Randolph, portrayed by Robin Williams, who we see here. He's disgraced, and he's trying to sabotage this Barney-like character that replaced him, a purple rhinoceros named Smoochie, portrayed by Edward Norton. You can also see here. Then, like, this last line just totally derails things. And later, the efforts of the Irish mob to kill Smoochie.
Don't bring us into it.
Don't bring us into your dirty work. At one point, Smoochie's resemblance to Barney is acknowledged when Randolph refers to him as bastard son of Barney in the film's final act. I've never seen it. I don't think it's supposed to be... good. I don't think it's actually supposed to be good, but it's just funny. Like, never
we
knew
should
about
watch
this,
it
like.
For the Patreon.
Oh, good idea. What's next? We're talking about Barney's mates.
Barney's mates, I think, yeah.
Let's talk about...
about time. What relation are these to Barney now?
So...
because I know... Riff.
They are all just his friends, but I. Oh,
Riff,
no, so sorry.
Riff is apparently BJ and Baby Bop's cousin. Yeah, which would make them siblings.
So BJ is the older.
Different colors.
BJ is the older brother, and then Baby Bop is the younger sister, and then Riff.
But they're different
is
dinosaurs and different colors. How can they be siblings?
Yeah, so.
Just on that though.
Let's talk about Baby Bop. She's a 3-year-old bright green triceratops, clearly. Mm. She made her first appearance in Barney in concert, which performed in 1991 at the Majestic Theater in Dallas, Texas. She's a good friend of Barney's and the younger sister of BJ. She's also Riff's cousin. Baby Bop is like many precocious children her age. She loves to carry her yellow blanket around and is almost never ever seen without it, calling it her blankie.
Yeah, she really glamorized having something that you couldn't leave home without, didn't she?
Yeah.
I was like dying for a blankie or something.
Her name is based on the words boppity bop from the song Mr. Knickerbocker, which I'm not familiar with and seems boppity problematic. Then we have Riff. So he's a 6-year-old orange hadrosaur.
He's older.
He's older. He only came out in 2006. He's a blow-in.
No, he's older than Baby Bop.
Oh, he's older than Baby Bop. Yeah, he's like the middle. So he was introduced on some tour. And his name is kind of music that can be played repeatedly, you know, like a riff.
Yeah.
Because of his name, his words and his speech sometimes is repeated, most often adding itty to the end of a word before repeating the word properly, which I mean...
problematic.
You know what ends with itty? Titty.
No, it doesn't. No, it does. It does.
Glad you thought about that. Then we have BJ, questionable name. We could never.
I could not find anywhere online.
Could never ever get to the bottom of that.
Like, no.
I know it's probably like Barney Jr., but it's one of those things where it was like you were all in the room, and how was no one like? I'm just gonna float it anyway. So he is a 7-year-old yellow Protosteratops. And he made his first appearance in season 2 of the show with the episode Look at Me, I'm 3 in 1993. He debuted as a 6-year-old, but eventually turned 7 in the national stage show tour of Barney's Big Surprise. Good for him.
Still wearing the same shoes. And hat.
BJ is described as an impulsive dinosaur, but is always eager to help his friends. As an active 7-year-old, BJ also likes to run, jump, and ride around on his red scooter. Although he loves baseball, basketball, and soccer, it's safe to say that BJ has never met a sport he didn't like. Yeah. He also likes to play drums and the guitar. This is actually just you.
What are you talking about?
He likes to play the drums and the guitar. You love music.
He's never met a sport he didn't like.
Oh, actually, sorry, the sport thing. About? Never mind, yeah. It was established in Come On Over to Barney's House. They also played drums in his rock band, BJ and the Rockets. BJ enjoys to pretend to be Captain Pickles, his superhero
that
alter ego, with the name being a nod to his favourite snack, Pickles. There was actually
Captain Pickles and BJ. It's all a bit too...
Phallic.
Phallic is the word I was looking for.
He was supposed to have his own spin-off in 1998, and it was called... what was it called? BJ and the Radical Rumble Butts.
Butts!
Again,
like
another thing
went...
where I'm like, they should have just had one decrepit person in that room brainstorming who could have been like...
Rumble Butt.
This is going to be interpreted badly.
What star sign would you say?
Baby Bop is clearly a Leo.
Let's go with BJ, just because you just described
BJ.
Him.
Yeah. What? Okay, what star sign is BJ?
He's chaotic. He's
someone straight out the gap with Gemini.
Yeah, yeah, he's rowdy, like.
Pisces.
Oh, he's not emotional enough.
Aries. Okay, guys, we can't say them all. Appreciate the crowd interaction. Yeah. We cannot say them all. What about Riff?
Riff, I know nothing about. So
actually, no one here knows anything about Riff.
Scorpio.
So. Scorpio, yeah, whatever. Listen, but as we were thinking about it, I was like, where could they be now? Like, they're not children anymore. They clearly must be at it. So I caught up with them in my mind, in imagination land. This is what I think. 2021. BJ will clean your feelers for you for a price. He doesn't feel represented in mainstream media, so he said, you know what, I'm going to take things into my own hands. I'm going to start my own podcast.
This is Mark. Called
Hashtag Not All Dinosaurs. He does think Joe Rogan is the second coming of Christ. A lot of bad conversations there. Says he would have gone pro skateboarding only for his injury, which he never discloses, ever. Could be anything.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anything. Then we have Miss Baby Bop. She's hitting you up in the inbox. She's hitting you up with the, hey, girly. I have a wicked business opportunity for you. Blankets, they're all the rage. She's doing well for herself. I'm proud of her.
Yeah. It makes sense for her.
She could be getting into the money racketeering.
I definitely see the OnlyFans for her.
Yeah.
It's just like a blanket, just covering little bits.
Yeah. Never any nipple.
No.
Never any nipple.
Stay
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
What about Riff?
What about Riff? Well, I hate to say it, guys. Riff is dead. In the arms of the angel, fly away.
Don't encourage her.
In the arms of... Fuck him. What are you pointing at? What are you actually pointing at?
He's very cute.
Let the three others carry the series. What did you do? Anyway, let's talk about the famous faces that starred on Barney.
Yeah. Because I'm sure you can probably name the big two. Selena and Demi, of course. I'm gonna move it.
You always got to keep an eye out for Selena.
Even as a child. So
she's turning up everywhere.
You probably wouldn't recognize Demi. Alongside their childhood friend, Selena Gomez, singer and actor Demi Lovato also played make-believe with adults dressed like dinosaurs. They played a character named Angela for the same duration Gomez was on the show. It was 2002 to 2004.
I loved Angela.
Which is like
me.
Our peak year, like 8
yeah.
to 10.
Yeah.
Was that too old to be watching, Bernie?
Probably, but we clearly still were. We're like, yeah, I loved them, yeah.
In around 2007, around the same time that Selena got cast in Wizards of Waverly Place, Lovato landed her breakout role in Camp Rock.
Oh, of course.
Which we've all seen. Since then, she's focused on her music career, releasing 7 albums since 2008. Their latest album, Dancing with the Devil, also included an accompanying YouTube documentary about their life, which we did an episode on.
We did.
It's good.
Yeah. It's very good.
I remember.
They're off with the aliens now, though. They're into that phase of their career.
Let's not.
That's another story.
Let's talk
story
about
for
Selena. So the world famous singer and actress Selena Gomez got her start as a series regular on Barney. Do you remember what she was named on the show? Anyone? No. She was named Gianna. She played Gianna from 2002 to 2004. She was only 10. She's the same age as us. No.
Don't say that. I'm going to bash
my head. A little bit older. She left the show in 2004 when she outgrew the role, and then 3 years later landed her breakout role as Alex Russo on Wizards of Waverly Place. In the years since, ooh, Wizards of Waverly Place. Yup.
Yes, Disney Channel. Yes, magic. They will cheer for anything. Anything.
In the years since, she has established herself as a respected actor and musician. She's also branched out as well, creating her own makeup brand, Rare Beauty, and collaborating with HBO Max to star in her own cooking show called Selena and Chef. And if that's not enough...
That should not be allowed, sorry.
I'm sick
of famous people being like, I can cook. Okay, here's 8 episodes.
Watch me. Yeah. She recently released her first Spanish album called Revelación. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Her upcoming acting credits include horror movie Spiral, which was produced by Drake.
It's supposed to be very bad.
Oh.
Drake produced that other movie that we saw with your man.
Spree.
Yeah,
that wasn't good.
Yeah, that was... What's his name?
Joe. From Stranger Things.
Steve in Stranger Things. Joe Carey, yeah. That's a bad movie.
He was good, the movie was not.
We got up out of our seats and it was like, produced by Drake. I was like, what? That explains everything! Get me out of this cinema now!
It wasn't that bad.
She's supposed to be very good in Only Murders in the Building, from what I've heard. Yes? Seems mainly positive, yeah.
Okay. Recommendation.
I think it's like true crime. You'd like that, I think.
Oh.
What are we doing next?
Just move on. I have a couple more. There's a couple more you might not remember that were on it, but will recognize. So
I can't. Did you not include the picture of Debbie Ryan where she's like?
No, because I tried to get them as they were on Barney.
Fair.
Which was hard because Debbie Ryan was like 16. But Madison Pettis, you might know her as Sophie Martinez on Disney Channel's Cory in the House.
Corey. Oh,
it's a party every week, baby.
I want a lady in the streets, a freak in the sheets, a Corey in the house. So that's my favorite tweet ever. That's like top five. Makes me laugh every single time.
She also played The Rock's daughter in the 2007 film The Game Plan. In 2015, she landed...
Truly anything you will cheer.
Yeah. She landed a regular role on The Fosters. And she was more recently in that Addison Rae, She's All That remake called He's All That. She was the bitchy best friend in it.
Cheer everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Addison Rae. Boo!
No, she played a baddie in it.
Fuck her. Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was good. It's actually really good.
I feel like that's not what you said after initially watching it.
No, I thought it was great.
Which time?
And then, of course, Debbie Ryan, queen of my heart.
Hey, Jesse!
Known from her role as Bailey Pickett on Disney Channel's The Sweet Life on Deck.
And being married to one of the lads from fucking 21 Pilots.
They're here.
Someone's at a seltzer.
Her breakout role, however, playing teenage girl on Barney's Let's Go to the Firehouse, which is her here.
Playing teenage girl.
Yeah, it
she
wasn't
didn't
her
get
breakout
a name.
Role. No. She played like she was in it for maybe a second. She's way too old to be a regular
on
Barney.
Why is a teenage girl at the fire station?
I don't know. She seems stressed.
She does seem very stressed. Sure, look at her quiff. I'd be stressed too. Fucking hell.
She has an upcoming film with Aubrey Plaza called Spin Me Round.
I love Aubrey Plaza. Right round, baby. Right round. Like a record, baby.
You're just
right
here for a good
round,
time.
Right round. I knew I'd get my sing song. Yeah. Bree was like, we're not making them sing songs.
Show.
I was like, at every opportunity, I was like, what if we ended with this? She was like, stop it.
No.
Is that it?
Yep.
Oh, great. What are our thoughts on a live-action remake of Barney? Okay, it seems mixed, but it's happening.
Yeah, you don't really get to decide.
This man.
I love him. I love him.
I would...
I would die for Daniel Kaluuya.
Kaluuya.
Not to be confused with Kaluuya.
Daniel Kaluuya, if in the future, if you're ever listening to this, I am free.
When you are free, I am also
give me
free.
When you are free, I am also free. Yeah, he just really wants to make like a dark live-action remake of Barney.
It's and Mattel. Mattel are like selling off all the rights, isn't it? That's why we're getting Barbie with Margot Robbie and
Ryan Gosling is Ken.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
Mattel are like trying to cash in on all their big characters now. I think.
Yeah,
makes sense.
But what's next, though? Where do we draw the line?
I think they're done.
Not
they only
all
have
toys
two.
Can be movies, like you know.
Tell that to Buzz.
I know. Let's not talk about that. We got into that last night as well. We don't need a Buzz Lightyear origin story. Like, I did fancy that cartoon astronaut though a bit as well. Huge chin on him. Like, I was just like, yeah. Hello. Anyway, yeah. So Daniel Kaluuya is working on this. We don't have any more details on it, when it's coming, who's cast. But he said, Barney taught us, I love you, you love me. Won't you say you love me too? It's one of the first songs I remember. And what happens when that isn't true? I thought that was really heartbreaking. I've no idea why, but it feels like that makes sense. It feels like there's something unexpected that can be poignant but optimistic, especially at this time now. I think that's really, really needed. Is it?
I hope it's like Get Out, but just with a dinosaur.
Is that what people need? I'd be up for like a scare.
Yeah, like scare the shit out of me with a big real dinosaur.
I don't know what other way they do it. Like.
They'd have to, yeah.
There's no word on casting, but it's probably going to be fucking Timothy Chalamet like at this point. Like, again, everything, like, you know?
Timothy Chalamet, Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
as Baby Bop.
Paul Mescal, Paul Mescal, yeah. Audition for this as we speak.
Yeah.
That was Barney.
That was Barney. We have one final clip to leave it on before the interval.
Yeah, we had a...
It's questionable.
Yeah. Guys, I'm
is
just wondering...
Is your mic on?
What? Is my mic on? No, you can hear me.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe I'm just very quiet.
No, you're back. You're back.
Someone's turning it off upstairs because they're like, shut the fuck up. Okay. Guys, before we go for a little break, I just want to know, how do you guys brush your teeth?
Like this?
Yeah. Okay, people are getting passionate over to the right. So Barney had a song about brushing your teeth and about not letting the water run. Like, he was like Greta Thunberg, who could never.
You're going to want to see this.
He was ahead of the environmental curve. But this, the teeth brushing method...
Questionable.
I'm not so sure, girlies. Questionable. I'm not sure.
Probably effective, but not as pretty.
Now, keep an eye on this guy in the t-shirt.
In the green.
Sorry, Barney's in the back, like, actually doing it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.